This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from the Heights House Hotel. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Third Coast Grappling and Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? And happy Friday from the Press Box as we are coming to you live from the Houston House Hotel, Nick. It's the Triple H. As we are live outside for the next 3 hours, taking you into your weekend, your Friday, and a whole lot more. Claire is here with the promo team, along with Johnny Sunshine, as they are giving away lots of goodies.
Is that his new nickname, Johnny Sunshine?
Always comes in with the red-tinted sunglasses, and you said he has nice ankles.
I did. Oh, my God. We're going to start the show with this again.
That's what I heard.
No, I did not say he has nice. See, now you got other people lying for you. Nope.
He heard it.
I did not say
he heard it.
I did not.
He heard it.
No.
Bernie, the mascot, is. I mean, Trey is here. So we're all good in the neighborhood early. Trey is indulging in a chicken sandwich and fries.
Trey and I rolled up to the hotel together in the same car.
At what, 7 a.m.?
No. Like 11.
You marking out a spot for later? Or?
No.
Why did you guys carpool?
I don't know either. Your mic is not on, Trey. He volunteered.
Hey, Trey, welcome to the show. Come on in.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey. Oh, sorry. I didn't need to get the – I'm sorry.
You didn't need the mic, but you put the headset on.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You
There's
want me to
a
take
picture
it off?
Here. No, you've got the red flowing locks all over your face and the microphone. Your cheeks are bright red already.
It's hot.
Why did you carpool with Nick, boys?
I was just kind of like – I got done producing the bench, and I was like, yeah, it'd be cool to like – see how you engineer and everything. He's like, you want to come with me? And I was like, yeah, I guess.
So he just tagged along. Just tagged along.
I'm like
and we made a trip to the hotel together. That's what we did.
Is that your pickup line, by
Trey
the way?
Trey and I.
Is that your pickup line? You want to come with me?
I'm like the stray cat that you pick up.
Hey,
is that what I said? I said, you want to come with me to the hotel? Is that
I
what
think
I said?
So. I was like, he's like, you want to roll with me? I was like, yeah, sure.
There it is. That sounds. I
well,
like that. That
what,
sounds a little bit more.
You know what I mean.
Spicy. Hey, babe. It's 1 a.m. You want to come with me?
No. I just think you have dirty thoughts right now because we're at a hotel.
This is a nice ambiance setting for a pool.
Oh,
right on the outskirts of downtown.
They've really done a really good job fixing everything up. A lot of colors. Everything's popping outside. I mean, they got a really good outside setup next to the pool.
Yep.
They've got a cool bar inside as well. Shout out to Marissa, who's done a wonderful job helping me set up and everything. And then Third Coast is going to be here with the weigh-ins at 7, so that's going to be cool as
Very
well.
Very neat, yeah. And you know what? It's a really cool setup. It's got a little Miami Vice vibe to it.
It does.
But you like that for poolside. And like I said, conveniently located right on the outskirt of the actual skyline of downtown in the Heights area, so it's fantastic. The owners were out here telling us some good stories about what they inherited when they purchased the property and
very
how they remodeled
interesting
it.
Story.
Yes,
very interesting story.
I would
story.
Definitely agree with that. But you guys should be here. Stop on by, say hi. We're gonna have some fun all afternoon and have a good time. And like we said, I mean, the promo team is here. Trey's already here. Nick and myself till 4. Blitz till 7. Aaron, we appreciate you back at the studio. And of course, as they like to say, it's heating up as we all know in H-Town. So the kitchen is open here as well. If you need some grub, it's 100 West Cavalcade. Houston 77009. We've got gift cards to give away all afternoon from Rudy's Barbecue, El Tiempo, and Casa do Brasil, who was in the studio earlier this week.
Love that place.
Yes, we have Charisma Car Wash gift cards as well. So we're going to take care of people for taking care of us by stopping by and saying hi. What's on your mind today, Nicholas?
I don't know. We can go with the Astros, or you can go with your Bucks tying up the series, making it going. It's a 7-game series. I would have never thought. I expected the Nets to take care of business in 6, but it's up to you. Do you want to talk Astros? Do you want to talk basketball? I don't know.
It's fine with me. If you want to open with hoops, we can. I watched the game last night. I never felt confident completely, though I thought Milwaukee should win the game. And my takeaway immediately after the game, when everybody was hitting me up and making, you know, and seeing, I've got a buddy of mine that bet a lot of money on the Bucks to win the series, and he wants me to think that he was intelligent. I said, the only reason why you're even going to Game 7 is because those two guys got hurt. Because when I watched that game last night, and I see Kevin Durant going off again in the second half, and I'm looking for Giannis. He's not in the same zip code. He's guarding anybody not named Durant, for one. And Drew Holiday, who's a foot and a half shorter, is getting used all over the place by Kevin Durant. And I'm going, this is why your coach is going to get fired. This is why I keep saying he's the most overrated superstar in the game in Giannis. It was so frustrating to watch that team last night going, you could be doing so many things to help your cause and you're not.
Dude, I was watching that game, and what really bothers me about the Nets and the Bucks, there's two players, a player on each squad that absolutely has to play better for their team. For the Nets, it has to be Joe Harris, in my opinion. For the Bucks, it has to be Drew Holiday. Your boy went 1-for-10 from long range. If you can't, whatever happened to the, you know what, my shot's not falling, let me recognize that and take a couple steps forward and shoot a mid-range. Clearly, that mentality is just absolutely shattered in the new NBA. Everybody wants to shoot three-pointers. But if you're going to go 1-for-10, that's not going to do anything. Joe Harris, dude, James Harden basically took a quarter and a half off. You can clearly tell the plays that he was taking off. And he still scored more points than both Joe Harris and Jeff Green. That can't happen. That can't happen.
I got a couple things for you. I need your opinions on. One, Harden supposedly grabbed Joe Harris at shoot-around yesterday and told him, you're the best shooter in the world. Talk about padding your stats. There's a guy named Curry in the Bay Area that would like to have a word.
Right. Look, Harden's going to do whatever it takes to, I guess, motivate him. It clearly didn't work in yesterday's game. He's not going to be – that's the thing about Joe Harris. He can't be – like, I didn't expect Jeff Green to make 7 three-pointers like he did in the game before.
Right.
I expected that to fall back down.
Right.
But Joe Harris, I mean, you got to get at least 20 points if you want to make a difference. And by the way, the bench – the Bucks got outscored on the bench 15-4 and still won the game. They had 4 points coming off the bench.
Well, because Budenholzer went to like the six-man rotation, which I don't understand either, because one of the strengths of this team is the depth. And with the injuries that Brooklyn has and the extra fouls you might need, like a guy like Bobby Portis, I don't care if you put him in for 3.5 minutes to just hack the hell out of and be overly physical with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
But you know, utilize the strengths that you have. That's, again, another knock on that coaching staff that drives me nuts watching the game. And then, like you mentioned, Harden, who showed you in the middle of the game when he got a live ball turnover, and he could have gone to the basket like he normally did. He hit the brakes as soon as he stole the ball, going, yep, nope, this leg's not going to allow me to do anything. And yet, when Giannis was guarding him, he couldn't stop him either.
Yeah, nah, it's bad. It's bad. I am a little surprised that it went 7 games, but when you look at the box score, it doesn't necessarily tell me that the Bucks were the significantly better team. It just doesn't. Chris Middleton is probably not going to score 38 points again.
He was big for them.
But that was massive, and he actually played like a star. Giannis recognized that. He had 30. He recognized that he had the hot hand, so he gave up the ball more. And that's good on his part. But still, Giannis, the majority of his points are in the paint, and I hate the way he shoots a free throw. I was texting you last night. The guy is very uncomfortable. Every time the ball leaves his hands at the free throw line,
yeah,
I don't feel like it's going to go in ever, ever.
Well, at least from a basketball perspective, a kind of a ho-hum playoff so far to this point gets real interesting, because now the best two words in sports are going to be on center stage tomorrow night with a Game 7 in Brooklyn between those two teams. And we got the potential of the four series that were left of three of them going 7, depending on how it goes tonight, with the Clippers hosting the Jazz trying to close out Utah, with the Hawks at home trying to close out the Sixers. At least from an NBA front office perspective, they went, hey, we realize it hasn't been great so far, but if we get 3 Game 7s out of this, or even 2, probably what fans want to see.
Yeah, that's the positive of it. I mean, I guess if you from a competitive standpoint, at least you get 7 games. And there might be a couple series, you know, the Jazz. I mean, you never know. I mean, on the Western Conference, they might be able to find a couple series that go 7 games as well. So I guess the NBA likes that or needs that. Why? Because LeBron is not in the playoffs anymore, number one. Number two, a lot of people are not really fond of the NBA playoffs right now. A lot of people, I feel like, are in this town at least, are more interested in the Astros.
Can you imagine if Brooklyn gets bounced Saturday night and your choices for an NBA champion are the Jazz, the Hawks, the Suns, and who else am I missing?
The Jazz, the Hawks,
and the
Suns, and the Bucks.
Oh, and the Clippers, right. I mean, think about that, guys.
The only two teams that I would want to see win, if the Nets lose, is the Suns or the Hawks.
I want Suns to win it all.
Suns more than the Hawks, but the Hawks are probably not going to win it. So.
I think everybody's on board. We don't want Utah to win no matter what.
Agreed.
But I would like to see the Suns win it. And if they don't, I definitely – I mean, yeah, I think you're right. Again, can you imagine the networks cringing if your finals is the Utah Jazz and the Atlanta Hawks?
Oh, I know.
Oh,
nobody wants to see that.
Please,
nobody wants to see that.
Don't do that.
But look, James Harden looks a lot better. I mean, in the first quarter, you could clearly tell that every time he got the ball, he was looking to pass it. Mm-hmm. And you could tell he didn't want to be a part of that particular play. And sometimes it would be play after play after play, like three plays in a row where he just absolutely took – a playoff. So that scared me. That was like a red flag. But then as they approached the second quarter, you started seeing him being a little bit more mobile. He's willing to take more shots. And
he's finally making some shots too.
Yeah.
Some threes.
And he could take advantage of the fact that the defense might not think that he's in basketball shape because he does look a little big. We know naturally he looks kind of big anyway. Mm-hmm. But he may not be in the best shape right now. So they lay off in terms of defense when it comes down to three-point shooting, and that gives him an opportunity to get a good look. And he actually makes them. As opposed to Drew Holiday, who went 1-for-10. I mean, you can't be in a playoff game.
He's supposed to be better than Bledsoe.
But you can't score 10% from long range in a playoff game.
That's what I'm saying. Bledsoe couldn't shoot the three, but shot it all the time. He's supposed to be an upgrade for Bledsoe.
No.
He has not been that. No. He's been a disappointment for them.
Not in the playoffs, at least.
So Third Coast is here at 7 o'clock, right, for the weigh-in?
Correct.
And Claire is trying to get a head start on all that. They were just unpacking signage, which was on a roller. Right in front of us, but you were talking. You had your head down. I was hoping you had seen this.
Okay.
She decided to try and unroll the banner, which was somewhat stuck. She was doing it with a rather clenched hand.
Okay.
When the banner slipped through her hands, the fist connected with her jaw and almost knocked her the hell out.
What?
She almost knocked herself out right here on the deck.
Clara punched herself in the face?
She did. Like you've said to people in the past, why don't you go punch yourself in the face sarcastically? But this time, she almost did it without even anybody giving her direction. She just took a big, sweeping grab of the banner and popped herself right in the jaw.
I am very upset that I missed that. Very upset that I missed that. I had no idea that that happened, but I'm very upset. Lots of things could happen with all these hammocks. Did you see Trey sit down?
Trey sat on the sex swing. I mean, the hammock here.
He's like, can I sit down on this? I'm like, you're fine. But he was terrified. He did not want to sit on it.
No matter what we told him about how much we thought it could hold him, he was not believing us. But yet, because we told him it was a part-time sex swing, he did try it out. And he now said that he's currently on a side table because he's expecting to start interviewing females over the next 3 hours until he finds those that he will find acceptable for his weekend coming up here in H-Town. So he is on the agenda. Is that right, Trey? Yes. Trey nodded his head, yes.
The good thing is there's nobody from Louisiana that could bother him, and it's not a quick drive. You know what I mean? It's not a situation where he could be like, you know what? I'm going to Louisiana because it's only a 30-minute drive. We're in Beaumont anyway. No, we're in Houston, so he can't have any one of these crazy women from Louisiana convince him and make this three and a half, four-hour drive potentially.
Trey is avoiding the potential for a murderous threesome. And he is going to control the narrative by being here poolside for the next 3 hours.
He told us.
To just interview those that are interested in the jugs. I mean, Juggalo Trey. So we're going to be here. He's here. You guys should be here. It's a fantastic venue, and it's going to be a fun show. It's Nick and myself. It's the Press Box. It's ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You are listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the Heights House Hotel. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Third Coast Grappling and Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the box. Press Box, that is, as we take you all the way till 4. Nick and myself out here at the Houston House Hotel, 100 West Cavalcade, right on the outskirts of the skyline of downtown Houston. It is a fantastic pool setting, and you guys should be here with the palm trees and the colorful furniture and Trey taking interviews for his dates for the weekend. And also want to remind you that our ESPN 97.5 listener email is available. You get the latest information on what's happening with your favorite radio station, upcoming events, giveaways, a chance to be highlighted as our listener of the week. All you got to do, ESPN975.com, and subscribe now. You watch a baseball game last night?
I did. I was watching. I was doing a side-by-side between the Bucks and the Astros. So.
I'm with you on that. And, by the way, I was doing Trey, take note. I was doing a three-way because I was also checking out the U.S. Open because the golf being at Torrey Pines on the West Coast, it was in prime time last night, which was weird. So I was watching all three.
I was just hoping Mickelson would do something again, to be honest with you. Other than that, I didn't really care.
Did you see Felicia, what happened?
No, I didn't.
Felicia got his feelings hurt. He got sensitive. Yesterday, he said on several holes he got taken out of his game because people couldn't hit the little button on their phone and turn the volume down on their cameras. And he had on one hole, he stepped away three separate times. Then when he went to try and hit the shot, he hit it way left. And then he blamed it on the people with the phones.
You weren't going to hit that shot anyway, buddy, clearly.
Yeah, he just, come on.
Man. I mean,
like Joel Embiid's knee. Stop
it. How distracting was it, though? Could you tell from, like, the feed that it was that distracting?
I couldn't hear it, but evidently, golfers are really a strange bird anyway, where once they get something in their head, like, it's going to mess with them.
Yeah.
So then on subsequent holes, he kept looking around and, you know, made sure everybody was telling the fans, you know, they had to bring a security guy in to
check
with the people for the cameras to turn the clicker sound
I feel like we
off.
Should ask Will Doctor about this, if he felt like he was being a little biznotch, or was he justified in complaining about
Phil
the distractions?
Phil can be emotional. He can be moody. I told you about the one tournament I was watching where it was like he was down the stretch. It was him and another, I forget who else it was, but they were neck and neck. And he hit a ball just way left into the trees. And it's kind of like the Happy Gilmore syndrome. He didn't realize there was a camera behind him. And one of the marshals goes, I found it. I found it right here. It's in the trees right here. And he didn't know there was a camera behind him. And he goes, I thought I told you not to find it.
Oh,
because he would have been able to re-tee and it would have been easier.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then all of a sudden he turned and looked at the camera. He's like, oh, hey, thanks for finding it. And it's like, okay, come on, man. Stop that.
No, I missed all that. But I do like it when they get angry because of distractions. I want to be that guy that trolls, but also I know they're really quick to, like, kick people out of certain golf courses in the event that you go too far because they have, like, no-nonsense, zero-tolerance type of rules on these golf courses.
And they've become more lenient because of cell phones. But when the Tour Championship was still here, I remember one year when they used to just ban cell phones. They now, as long as they keep the audio down and turned off and mute it, they now, because phones are so important to people, they actually allow it.
It's probably a struggle for them to regulate.
So back then, they weren't allowed. And this lady, Sergio Garcia, was getting ready to hit a shot. And she's out in front of him, right in like, he was kind of going around a corner. And she was right at the corner. And you can hear the phone ring. And she goes, hello? Oh, hey! And everybody's like, ma'am. And they're all waving at her. And yet, she stayed there for like 3 minutes, and she didn't realize she was oblivious to the whole situation. And finally, one of the marshals had to literally physically grab her and go, get out of the way, and this phone isn't supposed to be here. And she's like, ah! And Sergio was not happy.
Oh, I can only imagine.
So that'll be interesting. I'm sure Charlie gave you all the updates you need on the U.S. Open, but that's going on this weekend.
And the Astros, probably.
But, I'm sure he baseball tonighted you to death during the day. But you got away from that so that we could be here. So let's talk about the important stuff. Nice first game against another good team for your Houston Astros. Uncle Mike gets you on the board early with a three-run bomb. And then Altuve continues his torrid pace going on right now. And it was never in question. Urquidy coasts, didn't give up the runs till late, so you can forgive him. A good start, a quality outing, and a good win to start a four-game series against one of the teams with the best records in baseball, the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, that's what I mean, not that I wanted to stick it to the White Sox, but we know that they're a really good team. And I was a little concerned when Cease hit Alvarez with that pitch. I was like, oh, yeah, don't you dare hit Alvarez. But other than that, it's been great. I think they've had at least two home runs in the past 10 games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, ties the record.
Which is huge. So they're just, the bats are just doing fantastic. I kind of wanted to look at the box score to see how well Gurriel did, because there was one game we had a bit of an off game. I think he went 0-for-4. But other than that,
everybody else got hits the one game he doesn't, and otherwise he's been rolling.
Yeah. So, I'm glad to see that they're able to do that against a good team. Now, I believe the Astros are in the 40 mark, are they? Yeah, they officially have 40 wins. And I think there's, what, maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 teams maybe that have 40 wins now?
Based on the crazy schedule early on when we had all the cancellations or postponements with COVID and stuff. But here's the other thing. They're only 2.5 games out of the best record in all of baseball. That tells you how good their offense has been and how good their starting pitching has been. Because we all know that their bullpen is dog snot. So the good news is when we when I'm always so passionate about fix the bullpen now, it's with the sole purpose of letting everybody know this team could legitimately win it all if you just give them a little help in the bullpen. And I don't even know that you, because of the way your boy Chaz has been playing behind with Straw, that you can, they're interchangeable to some degree. So I think overall, if you just fix and tweak the bullpen a little bit, you should be prepared for a team. Blummer said last night during the game that there's a lot of scouts watching this series because there's a perspective of a lot of scouts that believe this is your American League Championship Series, the White Sox and the Astros. That would be fantastic.
No, that'd be great. That'd be great. I'm actually kind of glad that the White Sox, I mean, they've been bad for so long. I'm kind of glad that they're winning games right now, to be honest with you. I'm not necessarily a White Sox fan, but it's good to see that. Now that the Astros are one of seven teams that have at least 40 wins in the regular season, and I think that's great. I mean, that's great. As long as the bats keep up, and look, the good thing about this lineup, there is situations where you can have an off game. Gurriel could have an off game. He can go 0-for-4. Alvarez can have an off game. Mm-hmm. Alex Bregman, he's been having an off game, and now he's injured, so we don't know if he gets.
But who
back,
knew the Texans mascot would fill in for him and go deep?
I know.
Toro goes yard, and he gets a big two-run single too.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't expect Toro to do that either. I mean, look, they have depth when it comes down to offense. We know that.
Trey just left, by the way, in his Charger. He'll be back. You heard him in the background.
He said he wanted to sell me his purple Hummer. He goes, it doesn't run, but I'll sell it to you.
Is that what you say on the internet a lot, Trey, during dating talk? Would you like to see my purple Hummer?
Purple is an interesting color for a Hummer or for a car in general, but particularly a Hummer.
You have a purple Hummer? It's a legitimate automobile?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have no fear. Come on in.
No one ever said you had to leave.
Okay, I just
Why do
to
you have
sure.
a purple Hummer?
Well, it's not mine. It was my dad's.
Okay.
But it's eggplant. Which is
it's purple.
Yeah. So,
do you like the eggplant emoji?
No.
Okay.
I very seldom, never do I use the eggplant emoji.
Has anybody used the eggplant emoji for you? Like, have they sent that to you?
Yeah.
Who?
Louisiana woman.
She
told you
told
she had an eggplant?
No.
Did she send you the peach?
She said eggplant ? And I was like, I don't know what this means.
You didn't say that. You knew exactly.
I knew
what it meant,
but I was like, no. No, I don't know you well enough, woman.
But you wanted to.
No, I didn't.
You wanted relations.
We talked you out of getting killed
because of your desire to have relations with random Louisiana woman.
I was down to go. I was DTG.
When you say down to go, you meant drive to Louisiana, not like do
That's
the D.
That's the G-rated. Yeah, I was like, you know, wherever it went, wherever the vibes took me.
Until her man came out of a closet with an axe and a sharp knife.
I learned more about this woman, and it was
You should be lucky you have good friends at ESPN Radio that talked you out of what could have been a miserable situation.
Thank you for that. But if you want to buy the Hummer, Nick, my house, you can come by and check it out.
I'll check it out.
But
I don't know about an eggplant Hummer, but
it's nice. It's really nice.
Does it work? It doesn't work?
It'll run. We just got to charge it up.
Have you had sexual intercourse in the summer? It's big enough.
No. I've barely driven it. I've drove it twice.
So you're saying that there have been two random times that you drove a Hummer?
Yeah. I was going.
You drove it home?
It was back. Yeah. I went to the race and back. Those were the only two times.
Why don't you sell it to the station? Before AJ leaves, why don't you work out a deal so that they could make that purple Hummer
that
the official vehicle of ESPN Radio?
I like the way you're thinking.
I'm here for you, Trey.
That people would take pictures with it, I would imagine.
And you could tell everybody, chicks like to take pictures with my Hummer. My purple Hummer.
No.
Have you checked out one of the hotel rooms yet?
No, I haven't gone in there, but I like the windows.
I mean, they renovated everything.
There's a guy who's swimming.
Yes, that's what
Did
people do at pools.
You?
No, but, like, it's just I'm not used to.
He's the only guy that's shirtless, and you keep looking in that direction.
It was just weird. Like, you know, like, you look over, and
and then you keep looking back.
Nick, are you implying something?
I am.
Are you implying that I'm, like, live an alternative lifestyle?
Is it your friend that always walks around shirtless?
Yeah, oh, yeah, my buddy's. That's what it was. That's what I was thinking of, because
you were thinking of your buddy's dad without a shirt on?
Man, y'all are immature.
Wait, tell me. Is that not exactly what you told us before we started
it
the
is,
show?
But like, it okay. was a. You don't get the context. The context is not there.
What it so, would be? Could you even try and explain the context?
Okay, so my friend, his dad was a store director, and I sold.
Stay tuned for Trey's story. Hey, on the other side of it, you know how passionate we were about the fact that our boy Ryan Spader did the moonwalk after we thought he was the hero we needed? Well, now, what if an ex-Astro is? And another question that I have for Nicholas, do we need them at all in terms of the heroes? As long as our offense keeps hitting the way it is and our pitching keeps pitching the way it does. That and a whole lot more as we continue to roll on from the Houston House Hotel on a Friday on ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the Heights House Hotel. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Third Coast Grappling and Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back from the Heights House Hotel, as we are having a hell of a Friday, and you should be here, poolside. Everything fine and dandy. The fellas are actually primping for everybody to be out here for the rest of the afternoon and evening. Trey currently is trying to get Instagram video of the man in the pool. If we have time, we'll get to his story of what intrigues him about his best friend's dad not wearing a shirt. But in the meantime, he's enjoying the poolside benefits. We are too. Want you guys to be out here. We got lots to give away. The promo team is out here, so there's lots to give away in terms of gift cards. Also, it's all part of our summer circuit giveaway. So if you want to register, by the end of the summer, we're giving away a $2,000 wood pellet grill from Texas Star Grill Shops. And, of course, there's lots going on here at the hotel. So you can be here and check out all of the different things inside and outside that they have to offer.
Yep. So Dallas Keuchel, first time in Minute Maid Park since 2018, and he gave us a bunch of quotes to discuss, including Pitbull. Actually, one of them was just basically what he's been reiterating about his relationship with Luna all along, and that there was no relationship, and there really wasn't any communication. And I can see why Luna was kind of doing that, to be honest. When you consider what they added on the roster and Justin Verlander, I guess it kind of makes sense. But
didn't pay him, right?
No, didn't.
I think he'll probably hold a grudge for that alone.
100%. But he did kind of come to the defense of the Astros in regards to the 2017 cheating scandal and everything. And he said they were just keeping up with the times and that the Astros were not the only team that were doing it.
I think this is what we're getting at, what I was getting at with when, regardless of when he backtracked it and walked it back, when Ryan Spader came out this week with all that he came out with, and I heard Lance talking a little bit about it this morning, but he came out so adamantly that we all really believe that it's true and what he actually was tweeting was accurate, but that he got basically worked over by MLB and others until he walked it back. But what I said yesterday was, I hope this opens up a floodgate of ex-players like Eric Kratz and other people in the know that say, you know what, if he can't or won't say it, we will. And I thought that Dallas Keuchel's comments were kind of along what I'd like to see happen in terms of people just letting you know. This was across the board. It wasn't just the Astros. Keuchel's quote was, I think a lot of fans are misinformed because it wasn't just the Astros doing things. We were kind of keeping up with the times. It's kind of sad that it is what it is at this point in time, but I've moved on. Life always moves on. That's the kind of stuff I want.
Yeah. I mean, it's the truth. But at the same time, Astros Twitter, I mean, the Spader thing, I guess, gave the Astros fan base, I guess, a little hope because you felt like Major League Baseball would act on that. Now they doesn't necessarily have to do that when he calls his reports unfounded and everything else. So it kind of hurts his cause. But, yeah, it's I think it's fair to say, and I think there are markets outside the city of Houston that would admit that cheating is across the board. But there is something to be said about getting caught. There is something to be said about admitting what you've done because that always looks worse. It just does. And the Astros were, you know, clearly a team that they made an example out of, and they know that. Now, you can look from the outside in and say, you know what, Dallas Keuchel was a Houston Astro. He's just defending them because he was a Houston Astro, forgetting the fact that he kind of had a soured relationship with Luhnow and the general manager. But the reality is, I think he was just being honest. I mean, he has a bad taste in his mouth about Houston, but he was honest about that.
I don't think it's Houston, though. I think it's exactly what you were talking about. I think it's the people that kept him from finishing his career in Houston. I think he liked it here. He was always right by the station. We always saw him. And I think that he liked Houston. I just think that he had, kind of to Carlos Correa's situation right now, he had a higher expectation of what he should be paid than what the market dictated, and that created that divide in which feelings were hurt. I think overall, with what you were talking about with the rest of the teams and what the situation, I go back to how the hypocrisy that's bothering me. If you're going to police the spider tack sticky situation across the board, across all of baseball, nothing spared in terms of everyone's being called out. If you tried to do the same thing with PEDs, but you're not going to do the same thing with all the issues with sign stealing and all the issues that the Astros have been the poster children for, that's where I have issue. And that's why I would like all these other teams or players or people in the know to start piling on to what Spader said and said, look, he may have too much to lose, and so he pulled back. We don't have anything to lose, and so we're going to pile on. Here's what we know to add to that. Here's what we've experienced personally to be a part of that. That's what I'd like to see so we can clean it all up.
Yeah, and if Major League Baseball does take an approach, Joel, to where they clean it up across all the teams, are they really hurting their league that much? Even from a bad image standpoint, how many stories could possibly come out to make your league like it's such a bad image that you can't bounce back from it? There's literally no report. There's literally no report that can end your league. Don't be mad about it. Just clean it up, take the bad PR, and move on from it. I don't think it's going to end your league, so why not do it?
People might respect your league a lot more for wanting to actually do the right thing and clean it up. Roy Oswalt, I retweeted it last night, came out here and said, here's a great idea. Why don't we just do what the rule book has said all along and enforce the rules across the board? There's nothing wrong with that, and I think people would respect that. But
You're not the XFL here, okay? You've got money behind
exactly. You. And you know what? As Charlie always reiterated to us, no matter how much you think baseball's hurting, no matter how poorly they market their players and their teams, the fact of the matter is, baseball is a cash cow that continues to make money and will continue to make money, whether they admit multiple teams were stealing signs or just one. So just try and do the right thing. Because I set it up before the break, teased this, and I want your opinion on this. With the more I was thinking about how I wanted at least all these other teams to be called out too, so that the Astros weren't the lone child being punished. What do you think is more vindication? If people came out of the woodwork to validate that everybody was doing it and they need to start laying off, or if this team continues to do what it's been able to do so far offensively with, you know, top five in all these offensive categories, 2.5 games out of the best record in baseball, everybody taking notice and saying, look, this year, no sign stealing, no home versus road splits, nothing other than success.
It's the win, 100%. It's 110%. They have to win. If they win a World Series, they can take everything that all these people have been saying and shove it right up the you-know-what. And you know why this year more in particular than other years? Because of the spider tack scandal. Because now more pitchers are not using the spider tack situation because of Major League Baseball putting a big eye on it right now. And you have the less likelihood of them using electronics to steal signs because they probably don't want to risk that right now. You know what I mean? At least the Astros don't.
I hear you, but here's where I was, why I brought it up like this, right? So if you win it this year, it still doesn't dispel anything that happened in the past.
No.
It just says that you still continue to put good talent on the baseball field. But, and I hear what you're saying about spider tech too, but if you go back and say, hey, now all of you that spouted off and completely said cheaters and said you were the only ones and this is why there should be an asterisk and all these other things, now suddenly slow your roll. You can roll it back, and whether you apologize or not, it's time for you to start backtracking, because now the proof is in the pudding, and we found out there are these 10, or in Spader's case, 15 teams that he called out that said the Astros are just trying to catch up. Everybody was doing it.
Yeah. I mean, look, what makes me mad, too, about the whole Spader situation is that he said it originated from the Royals. But I believe Cat said he knows for a fact that that wasn't the case.
Well, he also said Beltran, and it started between his time with the Rangers and the Yankees.
But the camera installing part.
Oh, okay. Right.
That came from the Royals, right? At least according to Spader's tweet.
He said they used it in 15 regardless.
Right. So, I mean, look, I don't know if they're going to take an approach where they the only way you clean it up across the board is if you provide sanctions, you punish them on teams all over, because clearly everybody has been using SpiderTech and everybody is using electronics or technology to steal signs.
Right.
If they were willing to, I don't know how many teams are stealing signs right now, but if they still are, the only way you clean it up is you punish numerous players on numerous teams. You can't just do it on one or two teams, and you can't prioritize Boston, New York, and L.A.
Yeah, that's the other thing that really annoyed me when one of the key quotes that Spader brought up to the benches is the fact that baseball thinks that the Red Sox, Yankees, and Dodgers are the teams that are going to carry the torch internationally, when you're missing the boat on how many successful international players aren't on any of those three teams. When you start talking about Ronald Acuna Jr., and you start talking about Fernando Tatis, and you start talking about Vladdy Guerrero, and you start talking about all these other guys and going, guess what? None of those guys have the association with any of those three teams, and if you were smart in the way you marketed your league, you'd be marketing the league and its top players instead of who you think are their top teams based on market and maybe previous success in the history of a franchise. Yeah. I think that's weak.
Random question. Have we heard anything about DeGrom and him using any of the sticky stuff or no?
Haven't heard anything I'm not going to say he's hiding behind it because we don't know, but he is now injured again because they're still trying to figure out. The other night in his start, he cruised through the first two innings. The third inning, he got through it but experienced shoulder issues again and was scratched for the rest of the start. And they were examining him and going for further. So I think that's going to be front and center with him and not anything that has to do with whatever grip he's using.
It would be interesting to see if those doctors have any – if there's any truth to what they're saying in regards to these pitchers who are used to using SpiderTech and other substances, all of a sudden stop using it, and now they're dealing with injury and they've got muscle sore in places that they need – you know. I forgot who the player was, but he said he had, he was feeling sore in muscles that he didn't even know he had in his arm.
Oh, it's before Tyler Glasnow.
Glasnow, that's what it was.
He got hurt, tore.
So I don't know. I want to know if there's any truth to that, because even he didn't believe it at first either. He said he didn't believe trainers and doctors when they told him that once you stop using SpiderTech or any of these substances, that you could be potentially causing injury to your arm or your elbow. I mean, that to me is super telling. But at the end of the day, I don't know how you approach the situation and justify using SpiderTech and say, you know what, we're going to allow SpiderTech and using this sticky substance because people are getting injured if they don't. I don't know how you justify that.
It's the same way where guys were trying to sue the Astros because their career was ruined because of their offensive explosions that happened. I just think it's all weak sauce. I mean, what now? Are we going to start suing Major League Baseball as pitchers? Are we going to start seeing across the board that, everybody's going to want their money back for something? I mean, at this point, let's just turn the page on the fact that the lawsuits aren't part of this. It's cleaning up the game and cleaning up the sport so that going forward, your main attraction, the number one thing that people should be talking about are the teams and the players and the games. And instead, the number one thing that everybody's talking about are the controversies based on breaking the rules. And that's not what it's all about.
Yeah.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. You guys want to join the program, 713-780-3776, HRP, listener line for calls and texts, otherwise Twitch and Twitter, on Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, they're conveniently located near downtown Houston, right there in the Pearland Lake Jackson area. Dr. O and his staff do a fantastic job of taking care of you. And for men and women, if you're looking to get that feeling back like you had in your 20s and you thought it was impossible, it's not. It's attainable. All you got to do is make your first appointment. Go to ApolloMH.com. Book that first appointment. You'll find out most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name on ESPN Radio. Get a free B12 shot on your first visit. And then go make that first visit. Talk to them honestly. Answer their questions. They're going to get you results, and they're going to put you on a program that works. Everything from full body composition analysis to HGH peptide therapy and all the different versions for men and women of hormone therapy. They take care of you every step of the way. They're good people doing great things. Check them out today. It's the people at Apollo Men's Health.
If I ain't enough, go get the chop. It's safe to say I earned it, ain't a new, gave me nothing. I'm ready to hop out on a new, get the bus. Know you heard me say you play, you late, don't make me push the butt full of pain.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the Heights House Hotel. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Third Coast Grappling and Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back from the Heights House Hotel where it's popping, and it's going to get even better as we get to the late hours of the evening. When the sun goes down, the temperature goes up at the Heights House Hotel. As we have heard, the pool parties are phenomenal. And so we'll look forward to seeing some of that as we continue with the show. We go till 4, Blitz goes till 7, right here on the outskirts of downtown. It's 100 West Cavalcade, I believe. Really neat spot. We continue to talk about, we're talking about baseball and stuff, but Nick, before we wrap up the first hour of the program, there was a trade today. I had to double check it because I didn't know if it was legal and it was from Woj, but I wanted to make sure it was an accurate Woj account. But it looks like it will be official at the end of the season when the finals are done. But in agreed in principle, the Celtics are trading Kemba Walker and the number 16 overall pick in this year's draft, along with a second round pick to Oklahoma City for Al Horford, Moses Brown, and a 2023 second round pick. And you and I were talking off air, well, how does this help and what does this do? Well, I think from the Celtics' perspective, and you saw it based on the fact that there's a win now philosophy all the time, and that's why Danny Ainge left. That's why they're looking for a new coach, because Brad Stevens was bumped up. And I think part of the issue was you've got two really good wing players, I'd say superstar wing players in their prime, in Brown and Tatum. But the disappointment in knowing that a point guard that they went out to replace Kyrie Irving with, that is making a boatload of money, due over $70-some million over the next two seasons, was hurt more than he played, was hurt during the playoffs, and didn't do anything to help them when they needed him most. So they're pulling the plug. They get Horford back. They need a big man. He's only got 1 year left, as opposed to multiples for Kemba. And then they try and move on with some flexibility, trying to add a player here or there and move forward. So another coaching vacancy that looks like it's going to be attractive. Boston now looks like a place where people might go, hey, that might be all right.
Well, it's Brad Stevens' first move as an executive, so it does make me wonder what he knew about Kemba Walker, what type of relationship he had with Kemba Walker. You did mention the fact that there's multiple years left. There's two. They got 2022 and a player option in 2023. So, yeah, you're going to owe him a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's $34 million, $36 million, and $37 million. And you're talking about a guy who's 31 years of age. I'm talking out loud, and it's starting to sound like John Wall. Now, clearly, he's not hurt to the extent of John Wall, because I don't think he's experienced an Achilles injury, but he certainly has the injury-prone label. So when someone's 31 years old and you owe him that kind of money, I can see why you want to get him off the books, especially if he's not playing and you don't believe in him. Stevens making that move tells me a lot. I don't know if there's some health indications. You were telling me before the show, Joel, that I don't know, maybe there's a possibility that the doctors know something that perhaps the remaining NBA does not know about Kemba Walker. Maybe he has some sort of serious injury. Maybe he has some sort of injury that tends to reoccur over and
chronic.
Over again.
I think that, you know, the Celtics doctors know more than anybody else. And so if the Celtics doctors tell the basketball people, this knee thing ain't getting better just because he's got an off season.
No.
This knee thing ain't getting better if he does an arthroscopic surgery.
Yeah.
And so therefore, you also realize that by saying they didn't trade him to a contender. They didn't find a home for him where there were a lot of teams that go, that's the piece that we were missing. They traded him to a team that's been notorious in the last couple years for being a veteran dump. But in the process, Sam Presti just keeps stacking up draft picks so that when all those veteran dumps contracts end, he's going to control the draft for the next 3 to 5 years, and then they're going to get better really quickly.
Yeah.
And that's why the deal went down. So that's why I kind of was a little bit on alert going, I think that Boston knew what the rest of the league was wondering, which is how bad, because he's had him for a couple of years now. If they're not fixable, then what, you know, you're right, he's John Wall-esque.
And you don't value that first round pick too much, right? I mean, I was kind of surprised by that, but they're giving up Kemba Walker, the 16th pick overall in this year's draft, to Oklahoma City for Al Horford, Moses Brown, and a 2023 second round pick. You're not really seeing that first round pick as much value in your eyes.
Not by itself, but the fact that they now have three first round picks in this coming draft, and it's the start of every single year for the next couple, thanks to the Rockets and other teams. dumping veterans, they're going to have multiple first-round picks. So now it's right outside the lottery. You could get a decent player. I don't think it's a player that would have helped the Celtics as much as it would help an OKC. And I think that if you package them, you could package two of them. You could package all three of them if there's a player you really want because you already have a lot of young talent on your roster. But I think it's perfect for what OKC is trying to do, and it helps Boston immensely in terms of from a financial standpoint and from getting rid of a player that just seems like he may have never been healthy.
I mean, they should have a lot more cap space now. Evan Fournier's on his last deal. He's off the books unless they re-sign him. You got Kemba Walker off now. The only thing
but you got Horford at 27 for one more.
For 1 year. But yeah. In terms of long deals, you still only have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And
right.
That's
what
it.
I'm saying is,
and you want both of those players on that roster.
You can't go into free agency this offseason, though, and add somebody that easily because you've got Al Horford
on,
at 27 plus those other two guys.
And that's a gamble they're willing to take considering it's an expiring contract. But
so we got two games tonight. Before we get off NBA and switch gears again, give me who you got. Who's winning both series? I'll start with the Clippers at home against the Jazz. How you playing that one out?
Man, I was going to pick the Jazz. I really, really was going to pick the Jazz.
What's changing that?
Playoff P, baby. Playoff P is going to take over.
Oh, really?
No. I don't know. If Paul George can surprise him, you know.
It's a big if, bro.
It is, but
he likes to hide under his best player's shadow, and now he can't do that. He did it for one game. Can he do it for multiple?
I mean, he's going to – we had this discussion the other day, and I said he's probably going to be forced to, and you disagreed because now they can zero in on him and play defense, and that totally could happen. But, I mean – What else are you going to do if you're Paul George? You're deemed the second star on the roster. You have to take some sort of approach. And look, Conley's not playing for the Utah Jazz. The big deal for the Clippers is the fact that you got that big center in Rudy Gobert, who even if he doesn't score a lot of points, his presence inside the paint impacts the game. And that's why I think it's going to be a big struggle. I just want the Clippers to win, to be honest with you. That's probably what
I
it is.
Do too, and
I don't
like
want the Jazz
seven.
To win.
I think the Jazz win tonight. I think it goes seven. I think that the Clippers haven't been great at home. And the thing that's frustrating to me so far is why these NBA teams know that when they're playing against a team like Donovan Mitchell, like a Clippers that only has Paul George, like a Nets team with only Kevin Durant, why are you not doubling? Why are you not taking it out of his hands? Why are you not forcing other guys to beat you? That's perplexing to me throughout all of the NBA, these playoffs. But I think tonight, because their backs are against the wall and they still have a lot of talent, I think Utah gets it done.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if that's the case. I just want the Clippers to win so bad. I want the Clippers to win really, really bad.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't want – I hate Utah. I don't want Utah to win.
I feel you to a certain extent because I'd like to have them on the map with not just the Lakers in L.A. I'd like them, now that the Lakers have already been bounced, to kind of make a statement that
– I mean, who do you like on the Utah Jazz outside of Donovan Mitchell?
Oh, I think Bogdanovich is a heck of a good player.
Yeah, but like, who do you really like on that team?
Oh no, Joe Ingles bothers the hell out of
me. Yeah,
he looks like a guy off of Something About Mary.
No, Laminack hit it. What did he say? He says he's a guy that wears Bugle Boy still.
Yeah,
Bugle Boy jeans.
Oh, what was the guy that used to be on Letterman? Chris Elliott. That's the same guy that was in Something About Mary. He looks like that dude.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
All right. So what about the other series? We've got Atlanta at home looking to close out the inexplicable Sixers.
I think the Sixers take care of business. I love my boy Capella. I really like what they've been able to do with Lou Williams. I like what they've been able to do on offense. It's a good team that can look at this season and say, you know what? We did pretty good. Maybe we can build off of that. But I still think the Sixers are too much. Unless Joel goes super soft or he has knee issues or he's limping in the fourth quarter.
Second half. I'm with you. I think the Sixers win tonight.
But Joel can't go soft.
Exactly. I'm a little leery of another second-half collapse by Joel Embiid.
It's very possible, too.
And
that's
the other thing is Ben Simmons might want to step up.
He's not. If you're going to tell me step up in terms of shooting three-pointers, you
no,
can forget
I'm
about it.
I'm not saying that. But command the ball. Do what you do best. Make sure it's your strengths, not what they're forcing you to do. So get in the paint where you can score. So get into fast break situations where you can attack because that's where you are most effective. But you can't just shy away from the ball because you're afraid to go to the free throw line. It's amazing in two of the four series that we're talking about in the NBA, you've got guys that are paid like superstars that can't make free throws and can't make threes.
Yeah, it's bad. But look, at this point, guys like Giannis, guys like Ben Simmons who can't really shoot the three-pointer or not even the mid-range that well, you can't fix that right now. There's not enough practice time.
Oh, right.
There's not enough practices in the world that you can have. You could work your body to death. You're not going to get better at shooting at this point. So it's better for you to stick to what you know. And that's basically what Giannis did. A good, like, I want to say, like, at least 90% of his points all came inside the paint. And he recognized that Middleton was the hot hand in terms of shooting, so he gave it up. And it worked out. Middleton ended up scoring 38 points, and they did wonderful. I mean, if they could just get, Drew Holiday to shoot better with three-pointers, I think that would do great, because now you got someone that can at least supplement for Giannis lacks in three-point shooting.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people that have to step up. So we'll continue to roll on. Open up hour number two with everything centered around you guys. So if you guys want to talk some Astros, we can get back into that. We've got lots of other things on the list of things to talk about, so we look forward to that. But I want to tell you about the good people at New Brakes. They are awesome. You know why? Because they come to you and do what they do, and all they do is brakes. I had them come to the studio a week ago. I was doing the show. They were in the parking garage. They fixed my brakes in less than an hour. It was painless. They were fantastic. Everything was well done, and the prices are competitive with brake shops across town. It's also awesome because if you mention ESPN Radio, you save 10% right off the top. And it goes from there. If you go grocery shopping, wouldn't you rather have them deliver the groceries to you than spend an hour in the store? It's the same thing with brakes. All you do is go to the phone or you go to your internet and you go to nubrakes.com and you tell them where you are and when you want it done. And they come to you, and while you multitask drinking a beer, watching a game, or sitting at your desk working during the day, they're fixing your brakes, and that's all they do. No upselling. They use the same quality products, and they have certified technicians that only do brakes, so they won't upsell you. Check them out today. Again, mention ESPN 97.5, but go to nubrakes.com. That's nubrakes.com.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.